What is up, and welcome back to another edition of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and I fear they let the Wizards get hot. I feel bad for the rest of the league because this team is rolling. Obviously, 9 wins, 41 losses. You can, you know, laugh all you want at what I just said, but the Wizards are playing really good basketball, whether you think it's a joke, whether you're actually involved in and watching these games. I mean, there's the vibes are absolutely immaculate on this team. You know, I posted the picture, put it in the Louvre, you know, Bilal Coulibaly, triple-double. You got Jordan Poole, Corey Kispert, even Anthony Gill for vibes is there with their hands on his shoulder, hyping him up. You know, Kyle Kuzma was traded. Valanciunas was traded. You get back a bunch of picks and young talent. The vibes are immaculate in D.C. A really good day. One of the banner days of this rebuild. Probably the best day of this rebuild so far. And I'm here to break it down for you and kind of give you a recap, give you my thoughts, and kind of preview what to expect tomorrow or Thursday for the rest of the deadline. So without further ado, I'm going to get to the Kuzma trade and I'm going to get to the Valanciunas trade and what I think of them. But I have to start with what we just watched in Brooklyn because it's something special that we saw. The Wizards just won their third straight game. It was the first time since March 24th of 2024. So nearly a full calendar year, I think 318 days, since the Wizards had won three straight games. They stormed into Minnesota a couple of nights ago, injury depleted at that Timberwolves team, and they eked out a narrow 2-point win. Storm into Charlotte again, injury prone, and they absolutely dominate, do what they're supposed to do. And then you go into Brooklyn and you dismantle them. The game wasn't even close. They were winning by 26 in the fourth quarter. These are three good wins. Obviously, the Hornets aren't great, the Nets aren't great, and the Timberwolves were injured, but the Wizards aren't great. They're the worst team in the league. But when you stack three wins together, they'd won six games prior to this with three-game win streak. They had two 16-game losing streaks. So yes, Wizards fans, you have 9 wins. You're the worst in the league, but you should be celebrating. You should be enjoying this winning streak because the Jazz just won. So it basically cancels this win out. The Wizards are still 3 games worse in the win column than Utah. Again, these wins aren't going to hurt you in the long run. You're still going to have a 14% chance of getting Cooper Flagg. Phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal stuff. I'd be remiss if I didn't start with the man, the myth, Bilal Coulibaly, the ringleader of this rebuild, the first draft pick of Will Dawkins and Michael Winger. They drafted him not to be unbelievable in year one, not even to be the best in year two, but for what he could be. And Bilal Coulibaly, let me tell you, showed everything he could be and more in the win over Brooklyn. 11 points, a career-high 11 assists, 9 of which he had, by the way, in the first half. 10 rebounds to complete his first career triple-double, 5 of 9 efficient shot shooting from the field, 2 steals, and a plus 22. Obviously, it's not the highest scoring game, but I think it's the most complete, well-balanced game I've ever seen Bilal Coulibaly play. Was all over the floor. His court vision was superb. He got three rebounds in, 2 minutes? It's clear that the guys wanted him to get his triple-double. He was looking for the rebounds. They let him get the last one. They all cleared out. It was really cool to see. The guys were hyped for him. Bilal was really happy to get it. I don't want to talk too much about Kuz until we get there, but let me just say this and I'll move on. It's not a coincidence that the first game after Kyle Kuzma gets traded, Bilal Coulibaly has the best game of his career. That Bilal Coulibaly tallies his first triple-double. That Bilal Coulibaly has a career high 11 assists. It's not a coincidence. We all knew Kyle Kuzma was holding him back. We all knew that Kyle Kuzma was relegating Bilal to the corner and not letting him be a focal point on offense, taking shots and touches away from Bilal. But that's history. And that's one of the reasons, I'll talk about it later, that you can be happy or sad about the return for Kuz, but I'm just happy that he's gone. And guys like Bilal, Keyshawn George, they have the moment, they can shine, they have the minutes, they have the touches. And more importantly, they have the freedom to be themselves, to develop, because as you know, Kyle Kuzma wasn't playing for their development. He was playing for himself. And now they don't have to deal with a selfish player playing for himself. They can deal with, okay, how am I going to get better with all of these reps, all of these shots and these touches? And you saw it firsthand with Bilal, best game of his career, triple-double in Brooklyn. That was phenomenal. Also got to highlight, Keyshawn George and Bob Carrington outshined clearly by Bilal Coulibaly because he was so, so, so good. But they were unbelievable. I mean, Bob Carrington, 16 points and 10 assists, 4-6 from the three, plus 15 on the night. That's unbelievable. We'd all be talking about it if it weren't for Bilal, if it weren't for the trades. Keyshawn George, for his first three threes of the game was really big to getting the Wizards off to a great start in the first quarter. 17 points, 7 rebounds, 5 of 7 from 3. You're hearing that right, by the way. These two combined to shoot 9 of 13 from 3. Combined plus 32. Keyshawn was a plus 17. Bub was plus 15. Just unbelievable games. Efficient shooting nights for them. And just really cool to see them unlocked in these new roles. And getting more shots, more reps, more touches, and all that. And lastly, to round it out, just a banner day for this Wizards rebuild. Probably the best, if not one of the best, days since they traded Bradley Beal and kind of started this whole process again. A couple bullet points from the day. The Wizards started by trading Kyle Kuzma and finished by trading Valanciunas for draft capital and a pair of high upside 20-year-olds. They won their third straight game in a blowout win over the Nets, their first three-game winning streak since March of 2024. Bilal Coulibaly recorded his first triple-double and a career-high 11 assists, and Bob and Keyshawn George combined for 33 points on 9-13 from the field. And all of this, they are still three games out of their three-game lead of being the worst team in the league. So it's not really hurting them, but the vibes are high and everything's going well, and it's just nice. It's nice to win one. I said this on the Twitter spaces. I'm going to repeat it today and on this pod. It's nice to win one. It's nice to have something to hang your hat on in this long process of a rebuild. And I think this is a banner day for the Wizards. So really happy with that. Really happy with Bilal, George, Bub. Sar didn't play, and that's the whole thing. The Wizards listed him as available, and then 5 minutes before the game, he was listed as out, and that was after all day he was listed as out. Safe to say some daily fantasy players were not happy with them. But nonetheless, I mean, Rishon Holmes, by the way, I'll talk about him for a second. Beast. If you're a listener of the pod, you know I've been talking about why he hasn't been playing, and I didn't get it, because he's so good. His energy is so infectious. He had like 11 rebounds and no points against Charlotte, and he was one of the best players on the team. Again, against Brooklyn, don't even know what his counting stats are. I'm going to pull that up actually real quick. Rishon Holmes got the start, by the way, with Sar out. 27 minutes, 4 of 5 from the field, 9 points, 5 rebounds, was a plus 17, 1 block. Like, he's such a good energy player. Bob Carrington got knocked to the floor, and he stood his ground, and he got in whoever, I think it was Claxton, got in Claxton's face and say, "Hey, don't do that. Don't touch Bob. We're not going to do that." The Wizards haven't had an enforcer like that in years. And it's cool to see that. And you might think that's kind of, you know, you might think that's a little corny, but it's not. It's cool to have a guy like that that sticks up for your players. And, Rishon Holmes, I couldn't not talk about him. He's been phenomenal. You got Tristan Vucevic, which is a big part of Valanciunas getting traded. Sar obviously being out, but he played backup minutes. 12 points on 4 of 9 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, 6 boards. He was solid. He's got a ways to go on defense, got to get a little stronger. But in 19 minutes, that's pretty solid production. Again, Chad Penny, 11 points on 4 of 6. You know how I feel about him. Corey Kispert's been unbelievable the last couple of games. Another one, 7 of 13 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3, 17 points. He's just so good. He had a D-cell move, which is just another thing he's added to his game, where he drove, let the guy fly by on a slow Euro step, and then sunk a floater. He did a little Euro step celebration on his way back. Like I said, the vibes are high. The team is balling. I'd be remiss before we talk about trades. Shout out Brian Keefe. Shout out Brian Keefe, because the last couple of games, a 16-game losing streak, so many Wizards fans were in my mentions saying, "You need to fire him. He's not the guy. He's a bridge coach." He could very well be a bridge coach, but you can't go at him when the team's doing bad and just be silent when they are doing really well. Brian Keefe deserves a lot of credit, because amid the trades and amid the speculation and amid the moving parts, he has this team rolling. He has them playing good basketball, blowing teams out, and they're on a 3-game win streak. So if you're one of the people that were going at Brian Keefe, you need to also give him some praise, because he's been really good with his game plan and getting off the good starts, adjustments, all of that, rotations as well. So shout out Brian Keefe. That's a bit of the Brooklyn game, and obviously a really good day in Wizards basketball. We have to talk trades, though. Obviously, some big moves happened. It's actually funny, and I mentioned this on the spaces as well. I was recording a pod this morning. I was going to give you guys a preview pod, and about 20 minutes in, I get the notification from Mike Scotto, the Wizards are pretty close on a Kuzma trade. Actually, it was from Josh Robbins as well. And so, obviously, I got a tweet out. I said, AJ Johnson would be great. That's the holdup. And I kept recording. And then 5 minutes later, the trade broke, and they traded him. So apologies for that. I mean, I didn't want to give you a whole 25 minutes of me talking about what a Kuzma trade would look like just for you to listen and say, Greg, he got traded already. This means nothing to me. So I scrapped it. It happens. But we're back again, and I'm going to talk about my thoughts on it because I think it was a great trade for the Wiz. You got to obviously consider they could have gotten a lot more if they had converted on maximum value at last year's deadline. But again, like, I don't see why people are upset about this. If you missed it, here is the full trade. The Washington Wizards sent Kyle Kuzma and Patrick Baldwin Jr. to the Milwaukee Bucks. And in exchange, they got back Chris Middleton, AJ Johnson, and a 2028 first-round pick swap via Milwaukee. Here is a bit of a background if you didn't read any of the tweets. The Wizards trading Kuzma, obviously, he was a disgruntled asset, didn't want to be here, made that pretty known with his comments, but his play was bad, and he had declined. Now, the Wizards could have traded him last year for at least a first-round pick to Dallas, and they asked Kuz, do you want to go? He said no, and so they decided to scrap the deal and not do it. Obviously, he's had a really bad year. His trade value has tanked. He's no longer worth a first-round pick, and a lot of Wizards fans are mad about that, and rightfully so. But to still be mad, even after the team proactively, you know, makes the best move they can, they say, you know what, that's our fault. We messed up, but we're not going to feel sorry for ourselves. You know, we're going to try to still extract whatever value we can from him. And you get a 20-year-old in Johnson and Chris Middleton, who maybe you can flip at some point. I have no idea. And a pick swap. And that's kind of the best you are going to get. A background on AJ Johnson, 20 years old. He's 6'5", 160. So, you know, good build, but, you know, guy has to get bigger. I mean, 160, I'm like 150 for reference. And I think I'm what, 5'9". I'll give myself, I'm 5'9 and a half maybe. But he's what, 6 or 7 inches taller than me and pretty much the same weight. So clearly, he's going to have to add some bulk. 23rd pick in this past draft. You know, some say he was a reach. I agree with that. I had him at an early second round grade. Really raw, played a year in Australia, but has all the tools. Has all the tools to be a decent shooter. The splits just aren't great right now. But if you watch his recent game against OKC, I had a lot of Bucks fans telling me that he was their best player. So I would recommend watching that before making any real, you know, giving your thoughts on Johnson as a player. But look, this is funny because now the Wizards, who, you know, Will Dawkins was notorious, my guy, Wizards Film Room, tweeted this out for saying, I actually like this draft. We're really big fans of all the players, even though people think it's the worst draft in years. And they turned around, and at this point, they now have 4 first-round picks from the most recent draft. Number 2 in Alex Sarr, number 14 in Bob Carrington, number 23 in A.J. Johnson, and number 24 in Keyshawn George. And that's on top of having Bilal Coulibaly, your first-round pick from a year ago, who, by the way, just dropped his first career triple-double. So you have these 5 first-round picks pretty much, and you're just stockpiling young talent. They're all under 21 years old. And basically, it's how many darts can I throw at the board? And eventually, one's going to stick. You're going to hit a bullseye eventually. It's what the Sixers did. I mean, look at, you know, Joel Embiid is the guy that worked out. But, you know, Jahlil Okafor, Nerlens Noel, Ben Simmons at this point, you know, Elfrid Payton, Markel Fultz. All of these guys are not what they should have been. But because the Sixers hit on one, that's all they needed. They hit on the guy. And that's kind of what the Wizards are trying to do. I know I don't think they have that guy yet. But if they get lucky in this lottery, I mean, they get Cooper Flagg, the whole narrative on this team changes. It really does. Even with Ace Bailey or Dylan Harper, it changes. So you got to get some lottery luck. But A.J. Johnson's a really good high upside prospect. Long way to go, but a good start. Chris Middleton, 33 years old, $31 million this year, $34 million player option the following year. The main question from Wizards fans that I've gotten is, Greg, are they going to buy him out? Are they going to try to flip him at the deadline for this year, maybe next year? Are they going to keep him? What's the deal? I wish I had an answer. I think we'll have more clarity in the next couple of days. What I will say is this. Chris Middleton is still a good player. He's still a really good player. He's shooting, what are his splits, 50 from the field, 40% from three, 84% from the free throw line. But he can't stay on the floor. He can't stay healthy. But if the Wizards, like my guy Damo said, maybe keep him for the rest of the year, play him as a sixth man on, you know, around 20 minutes a game, manage his minutes so he doesn't get injured again. Maybe in the offseason, if his value gets rebuilt, a team wants him for cheap and they give the Wizards some picks. Maybe you keep him even until next year's trade deadline and trade him for some picks. In terms of the buyout, it's a little murky because a guy like Middleton towards the end of his career, I think it's really hard for him to just say, you know what, I'm going to turn down my $34 million option and try what I can get on the open market. I don't think his market's going to be that big or that great. So maybe if he can get, like I said, like a 3-year, $50 million deal, less money per year, but it's more long-term money, and he's betting on himself to maybe better. I don't know, but I see him picking up the player option if that's the case. And that'll be dealt with in the future. But again, the trade wasn't for Chris Middleton. The trade wasn't for that pick swap, which a lot of people are up in arms about. The trade was obviously centered around trying to get AJ Johnson, but also trying to move Kyle Kuzma, because you see what it did for guys like Bilal and George and Bub. It's invaluable, those reps and those shots and the experience and the touches. And so there's a lot of good. Obviously, you should have traded him last year. I get that. There's also the 2028 pick swap, which is very still confusing to me. But from what I understand, here's a breakdown. The Wizards have the choice. They own the Suns' 2028 pick swap as well. So fast forward, let's say we're in 2028 right now. The Wizards will have a choice to choose a first-round pick, the most favorable of their own, the Bucks and the Suns. So let's say that you know the Suns of those three have the worst record. The Wizards can just swap with the Suns and they get their pick. The Suns get the Wizards pick. You know, end of the story. Now, obviously, if the Wizards have the worst of the three, that's very possible, which would kind of be, you know, bad at that point. You want to be good in 2028. They would obviously just keep their own pick. But let's say it's the Bucks. The Bucks have the worst one. The Blazers own the rights to the most favorable of that. And then the Wizards would then get the second most favorable. So let's say that is the case, and the Blazers have a better record than the Bucks, and they want to swap first-round picks. They get the Bucks pick. The Bucks then get the Blazers pick. And now the Wizards are sitting there and saying, okay, between the Bucks' new pick, which is where the Blazers finished, our pick and the Suns' pick, which is the best? And if you know the Bucks and the Blazers are worse than the Wizards, and the Bucks' new pick is better, they would take on that pick. But it's very unlikely. I think the Wizards just wanted to give themselves more opportunity in 28 to swap. I know that a lot of people aren't happy with this. They would have preferred, you know, a couple seconds, or they would have preferred at least 2020 to 2031 first. And I get that. But you can't have it both ways. I mean, 90% of Wizards fans were just saying trade Kyle Kuzma for a bag of Doritos, trade Kyle Kuzma for Lay's potato chips, whatever chip you want to call it. They were just saying, get him off my team. And the Wizards do just that. They bring you back a high upside 20-year-old prospect in year one. And, you know, you still get Chris Middleton. You get a 28 swap that might not be used, but you traded Kuzma. You should be happy. That's what you wanted, isn't it? And to sit around here and kind of be, you know, annoyed because the first-round pick swap isn't exactly what you liked, I think your priorities might be in the wrong spot. And I get it. I fully understand that. The Wizards should have gotten more at last deadline, and they didn't. But they can't just sit here and feel sorry for themselves. Will Dawkins, I'm sure if you asked him now, he said, you know what, hand up. If I could do that over again, I would have traded Kyle Kuzma for that first, and I wouldn't have asked him, and I would have just been proactive and made the move to cash in on his value. But he didn't. Nobody's perfect. GMs make mistakes all the time. It's which GM can obviously limit those mistakes, and which one can rectify them. Which one, you know, oh, I made this, but let me do the best I can to fix it. And I think this trade is a good first step in the direction of doing so. It's a very rebuild team trade. Kuzma's younger, and it helps the Bucks get under the second apron. And there's all the little cap stuff that I'm not really understanding. It's hard for me, as I'm sure most of you. But at the end of the day, the trade wasn't for Chris Middleton. It wasn't for the pick swap. You get a 20-year-old in AJ Johnson that I think has a really good upside and a chance of being really good under the development staff in DC. And you get rid of Kyle Kuzma. And no longer do you have to watch the Wizards getting blown out by 30 plus points. And you knew that the towel was waved when Patrick Baldwin Jr. would enter the game. On pretty much any occasion, the Wizards would be getting absolutely decimated. And you'd see the lineup of what? Gil, Johnny Davis, Patrick Baldwin Jr., Butler at times. And you just know, okay, the game's probably over. You won't see that anymore. Baldwin Jr. is kind of a throw in to make the salaries work. Kuzma goes to Milwaukee. Wish him all the best. Obviously, you hit his mom, Carrie, I'm sure doesn't think too fondly of me. I also saw Kuzma like posted something on Instagram, like, so I got traded, and is he basically had a one sentence thank you to DC, like, thanks DC, I appreciate it, I'm gone. That kind of is you know, telling of his time and kind of how it ended here in DC. But that's the Kuz trade. Whether you like it or not, he's gone. And the Wizards have some high upside prospect and a pick swap in 28 that they could use, might not use. Which also, by the way, the Wizards sent them a 2025 second round pick. I believe the Wizards currently own Detroit's second, and they currently own the Phoenix second. And so I think the least favorable, the worst of the two, gets sent to Milwaukee for this year, 2025. The Wizards don't own their own. I think that's going to Boston, I'm pretty sure. And so that's kind of where we're at with the Kuz trade. And then a couple hours later, you get some rumors lingering. You know, Valanciunas had obviously been linked to Phoenix for Nurkic. That would have been a really bad contract for the Wizards to take on, especially because he had another year at $20 million. And the Wizards didn't do that trade. Apparently, Denver really wanted him. They didn't do that. They ended up trading Jonas Valanciunas to the Kings. Full trade. Jonas Valanciunas to Sacramento, CJ Cezoko, and 2 second-round picks, a 2028 second and a 2030 second goes to Washington. Look, underwhelming package, yes. Maximum value, I believe so. If three teams are in on a guy and you opt with one of the packages, you're not going to take the worst one. You're going to take the best one. And clearly the Wizards felt like this is the best they can get for Valanciunas. And you didn't need to trade him because he was on a three-year deal. But at the end of the day, basically, here's the thought process. You got him for free. You paid him $9 million to be on your team for 6 months and to mentor a guy like Alex Saar. And then you traded him for 2 second-round picks and a high upside prospect. You could have just not signed him and been left with no second-round picks. Or you could have done what they did, signed a veteran, let him mentor your young guy, and now you're sitting here with, I know they have a lot of second-round picks, and yeah, second-round picks don't usually work out, but maybe they do. Maybe they do. And most teams that are contending, you see, aren't using second-round picks. They're using them to trade for guys like Valanciunas. Flip this in 4 or 5 years. This is going to be the Wizards trading second-round picks to get good guys, you know, solid players like Valanciunas at the deadline. The Wizards get this. I think they have 19 second-round picks through 2031. But from 2026 to 2030, a five-year stretch, the Wizards have multiple second-round picks in each of those drafts. Get that. Multiple second-round picks for 5 straight years. That's pretty impressive. Obviously, you'd rather them be first-round picks, but look what you're dealing with. You had disgruntled stars and assets that had limited to no value, and Bradley Beal with a no-trade clause wanted to be traded. Kristaps Porzingis was going to be free agent unless he was traded. You didn't trade Tyus Jones. Obviously, that wasn't great. Kyle Kuzma, you messed that up, but still, he tanked his value. And you're getting what you can get. I don't get the people that are mad at the Wizards for getting second-round picks when it's the best they can do. Would you rather them just keep these veterans on the team, clog the roster, not let the young guys play, not get second-round picks, and just go out there and hoop? Is that what you want? No, like, you don't want that. So you can't have it both ways. How are you going to complain about them extracting maximum value at the time for these guys? And so I don't get it. I don't get the backlash for the Valanciunas trade. I, from what I've seen, most people like it. I believe the Wizards, I forget who graded it, but they got an A. The Kings got a B-. But I think this is a really good trade for the Wizards. Valanciunas obviously being gone, leaves a rebounding void. But it also opens the door for Saar to obviously play big minutes. You saw, I touched on this earlier, but Rashawn Holmes playing. You know, Tristan Vucevic still has a bunch of games to exercise on that two-way. He can see some minutes, in the second half of the season. So obviously, he sucks to lose a good vet like JV. From all I've heard, he's a great dude, true professional. But you had to mentor your young star in Alex Saar for a while, and now you extract some value and get some picks. As it goes for Sissoko, it's a little murky. He's 20 years old, 6'6", 200 pounds, 44th pick in the 2023 draft, so he's only in year two. Only appeared in 29 NBA games in a limited role, so not much sample size there. But averaged 17.5 points in 8 G League games this season, had a 30-12 game on 71% from the field back in December. So he's clearly, you know, a high upside prospect that the Wizards like, only 20 years old. There's been reports that he was waived from the Wizards, and I haven't been able to confirm them because I've really only seen him from one source. And I don't know, the trade is official as well, so they still haven't waived him. What that could be is something that happened, I believe, with Vucevic, where they waive him and then they bring him back on a G League deal. Sissoko had spent most of his time in the NBA in the G League anyway, so it would make sense. He's a guy that needs a lot of time to develop and grow, and the Wizards playing him in the G League would make sense. Now, here's what I do want to say. Patrick Baldwin Jr. was on a two-way deal. Now that he's gone, it is time. It is time to not only convert Justin Champagne to a standard NBA contract, but it is time to give Jalen Noel his flowers and give him an NBA deal. He's coming off a 43-point performance on 8 of 11 from 3. He has been the best player on the go-go, a top-5 player in the G League. He's an NBA player. He's still young. I think he's only 24, 25 years old. You need to reward that. If you're building a culture and you are what you say you are, you're trying to build this, you work hard, you develop, you play really well, I'm going to give you what you earn and what you deserve. Not only does Champagne deserve a standard deal, But Jalen Noel deserves Baldwin's vacant two-way spot. And I'm that needs to happen. So I think with Sissoko, like I was saying, he can get moved to waived and then brought back on a G League deal that would give another would give the Wizards another roster spot. And that way they can take Champagne to a standard deal, give Sissoko the two-way spot, and kind of move from there. Nonetheless, that's kind of my thoughts on the Valanciunas trade. I thought it was great. You know, obviously wasn't going to be here for the long haul. You got what you can get, more second round picks. If Sissoko stays, another high upside 20-year-old prospect, which is obviously, you know, cool to see. But that gives the Wizards so many, just a full stockpile of young talent. These are all the Wizards players currently on the roster that are under 22 years old. You got Bilal Coulibaly, who's 20, Alex Sars, 19, Bob Carrington, 19, Keyshawn George, 21, AJ Johnson, 20, Tristan Vucevic, 21, and CD Sissoko, 20. So that's seven players under the age of 22, and all of them, I think, have really high upside, and a lot of them have already been playing and showing that they are really good NBA players and have so much room to grow. So that's kind of that's what the rebuild is. You have seven guys under 22. It's not a, you know, a given that they're all going to pan out. All of them won't. But if one is all NBA and an all-star and the others are really solid players, maybe they're also all-stars, you still could get a really good player, a top five player in this draft. You know, the sky's the limit for him. And it's cool to see Jordan Poole as well. I'll touch on that for a second. He's only 25, but they're trading every other vet, not him. So it's pretty clear they like him. He's having a great season. And I'd like to see him be the point guard for this team. I understand there's the, you know, trade Jordan Poole. He's not, you know, he turns the ball over. He does this. He does that. You can't knock the guy for how he's played this year. I'm sorry, you can't. He's been phenomenal. Really good, really efficient. You know, on certain nights, he's getting better with his court vision. Turnovers are still an issue, but again, getting better. It's only year two of him as pretty much a full-time point guard. And I've been really impressed with him, and it's cool to see. He's taken on the leadership veteran role for these young guys, and I think he likes it. I think he's thriving in that role, which is cool to see. So, you know, that was a lot, I know, in a short amount of time. I mean, just an unbelievable night for Wizards Twitter, for Wizards fan base, for the Wizards themselves, the franchise, everything. Shout out Will Dawkins. I want to end it on that. Shout out Will Dawkins. Because this is a guy that obviously got a lot of flack for not trading Kuz last year, a lot of flack for not trading Tyus or Shamet last year. You know, people were surprised at the Bilal selection. Look at how that's turning out. People were really mad at the Denny trade. And also, Denny Avdia is balling. And I'm so happy for Denny. But it's a risk. And I didn't even notice how big of a risk it was at the time when the Wizards made the Denny trade. But basically what they were saying is, this next draft class is so, so, so good. We are going to trade him because we think Denny Avdia might be too good of a player for our team, and he's maybe going to get us a couple wins that we can't really afford if we're trying to get Cooper Flagg. So the Wizards basically went all in on trying to be the worst team wins-wise in the league. They've not only succeeded at that, and obviously you still have to get really lucky in the lottery, and that's just the risk that they've taken, but they're still developing all of these young players apart from that. Bilal Coulibaly, first career triple-double. Carrington and George, 9 of 13 from 3. They are balling. You got Alex Sarr, who has missed the last five games, but before that, Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month has been a really solid addition, especially on the defensive end. High upside player. You add Sissoko and AJ Johnson, 20-year-olds at the deadline. You ship out Valanciunas and Kuzma, two assets that, you know, weren't going to be here in the long haul for DC. Obviously, Patrick Baldwin Jr. is in there, but I don't think many Wizards fans really care. I don't think Bucks fans probably care either that they got him. But nonetheless, a really, really good day, a banner day in Wizards history, because they made some really smart moves. They added some really high upside prospects, got some draft capital in return, and sent got all that for two veterans that not only, you know, I don't know if I know Kuz didn't want to be here. I'm sure JV, you know, enjoyed his time here. But that people kind of saw were on the outs and weren't a part of this future. And to extract, you know, value from there, I think, you know, Will Dawkins deserves a round of applause, pat on the back for the job that he did at the deadline. And all the other people in the front office, the assistant GM, all of that, that don't get the credit, obviously shout out to them because I think they cooked. I think they've done a great job. And again, you know me, I'm not here to just glaze the team. I speak my mind. I tell you when I think they make really bad moves. I told you I thought it was really dumb that they didn't trade Tyus. I told you it was really dumb that they didn't trade Kyle Kuzma. I told you they should have traded Kyle Kuzma when he made those comments, obviously, and even before then. So I'm going to keep it real, and you know that. So when I say that I'm really impressed with what they did today, I think they got as much value as they possibly could have at the time being. for what they had. I mean it, and you know I mean it. And so, again, I think it was a really great day for the Wiz. Great day to be below Koulibaly. Great day for Bub and George. Jordan Poole has been hooping. Vucevic getting minutes. You know, the vibes are immaculate. The vibes are high for the Wizards, you know, the Wizards fan base. And it's cool to see. When you lose 16 straight games three times in a 365-day span, it is rough. It is really rough on a franchise, really rough on a fan base. And along the way of this long rebuild, you got to find little things to hold on to hold your hat on. And today, you know, February 5th, the day before the trade deadline, is one of those days to hold your hat on. So again, I'm going to wrap it up here. Appreciate all you guys for listening. We did a live, I think it was about an hour or so, hour and a half Twitter spaces. The recording is on my Twitter. You can access that at Greg Finberg. A bunch of good, really cool people spoke. My guy Will Clayton returned to Twitter, gave his thoughts. If you spoke on that, appreciate it. But yeah, I'm going to be back probably after the trade deadline tomorrow to preview that a little bit. You still got Malcolm Brogdon, who's making $22.5 million. I thought maybe he could be a thrown in like a Butler or Kevin Durant trade, a bigger deal to maybe, you know, facilitate salaries, make it work. It's looking bleak, and I wouldn't mind not trading Malcolm Brogdon. Good vet, really solid player, is healthy now. It can't really stay on the floor, but you know, a good guy for Bob Carrington and Keyshawn George and all them to learn from. Same as Chris Middleton will come here and be a great vet for Keyshawn George and AJ Johnson and all of them to learn from in the forward group. You know, he's friends with Middleton. Middleton and Brogdon played together in Milwaukee back in the day. And so I would wager that Brogdon stays. I would wager that the Wizards are probably done. I don't really know who else gets moved. Maybe Holmes because he's playing great, but I don't know many suitors that want him. He's making 13 this year as a player option, as a team option, sorry, or a non-guaranteed contract pretty much for next year. Only owe $250,000 of the $13 million. So basically an expiring deal. I think he's playing really good basketball. Maybe a contender wants to take a flyer on him for a second round pick. Bagley, you know, is a guy that was discussed by, you know, reported by Josh Robbins, could be in trade talks. He's been out for a month plus with a knee sprain. Haven't heard any update on him. I saw Sadiq Bey's name in some rumors. People have been asking me for updates. The Wizards, you should ask them because they provide nothing. They don't give a timetable for any of their players. They don't provide injury updates for them. I mean, you have no idea if Sadiq Bey is doing on-court work, if he's progressing, when is his target date? You don't know. Same with Marvin Bagley, you know, and obviously they butchered the whole Sar being in, out, then in, then out. So you'd like to see better communication there from the Wiz. But at the same time, I don't know. I would assume, you know, Brogdon, I wouldn't say gets traded. Bagley, he's still hurt. I don't think a team wants him. Maybe Rajon Holmes, but other than that, Corey Kispert is not getting dealt. He's playing so well. I maybe not in the offseason if a team gives you a first round pick, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think Corey stays. Then everyone else is young and obviously won't get dealt. So, you know, maybe Brogdon, but I doubt it. Maybe Holmes. But other than that, I think nobody else gets moved unless they're part of a bigger trade to facilitate deals and take on salary or something like that. So it might be a quiet Thursday, you know, the complete opposite of a quiet Wednesday. Really good day for the Wizards. Shout out Will Dawkins. Brian Keefe's got the squad playing well. Shout out to him. Bilal Koulibaly, first career triple-double. Best career game for him. Look, you know, if you woke up today and you asked, you know, what are a couple of things that you want to see from the Wizards? I would say trade Kyle Kuzma for a young player plus picks and obviously salary filler. They did that. I would say trade Valanciunas for a couple seconds. They did that and got a young player in that as well. And I would say try to trade Malcolm Brogdon, but if you can't, you can't. So an A-plus day. And then you go around and you destroy Brooklyn and Bilal drops triple-double. So again, I've said this all the time, so many times throughout this episode, but a banner day, you know, for this Wizards organization, for the new front office, for the coaching staff, for all the players. This team's on the up. And while they are still so, so, so far away from you know, reaching the top and being a true contender, the light at the end of the tunnel is shining a little brighter today in Washington. And I think that's a really cool thing to say. So that's how I'm going to end it. Appreciate all you guys for listening. Stay tuned for the updates all day tomorrow. I'll be all locked in for it. I might do a spaces after, depending on the moves. If I don't, then thank you for listening. Thanks for bearing with me. Thanks for all the support on the posts throughout the deadline. It means the world that you guys enjoy and like and retweet and comment and do all that because this is really fun for me. So thanks for doing that. It's going to wrap it up for this episode. Go Wiz.